pinky promise. Without resounding loudness, I'll explain. So before I explain the history, I'll explain what a pinky promise is. That's when two people hook their pinkies together and make a promise on it. Now, the idea of the pinky promise is that if the person doesn't keep their promise, their pinky's either broken or it gets cut off. It's a sign to show that, hey, this person isn't trustworthy. And the earliest accounts we have of the pinky promise are about the 1600s in Japan. So it's a quite new thing. But we see this throughout a bunch of different cultures. We see it in Italy. We see it in Germany. I think I saw it somewhere in Africa. We see it all over, but it's this kind of new thing. But the whole point of the pinky promise is to show that this is a promise that is meant to be kept. Now, I would hope we're not as brutal now, but that doesn't mean that we don't make promises that aren't supposed to be kept. This could be as simple as staying up for a whole month to help your friends study for a science test because science is their worst subject. Or it could be your parents working overtime and on weekends so that you're able to go to college. Or it could be that a husband stays with his wife long, long after her dementia has gotten so bad she forgets who he is, because he made the promise, till death do us part. These are all examples of promises that are kept. Now, the great thing about the Bible is that it's full of promises, but God keeps every single one. And if he hasn't kept one yet, that means it isn't done yet. And in today's reading, we see God make yet another promise and keep it. Starting at verse 24. Set out now and cross the Arnon Gorge. See, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his country. Begin to take possession of it and engage him in battle. This very day I will begin to put the terror and fear of you on all the nations under heaven. They will hear reports of you and will tremble and be in anguish because of you. God tells the Israelites to go across the Arnon Gorge, where the Arnon River flows. You're going to have to fight this dude named Sihon, who looks awfully like Simon, but you're going to win. And because of that battle, you're going to have the upper hand in every other fight that you have to deal with. Note that God doesn't promise that their journey's going to be easy. Up to this point, it hasn't been. They just spent 38 extra years in the wilderness than they should have. He also doesn't promise that it's going to be quick. Moses is going to just to get outside the promised land for another 40 days, and it takes them a bunch of time. They've had to send messengers before, and now they have to go fight someone. I think that's the definition of a not smooth trip. But what God does promise them is that they are going to win, and that they will have the upper hand in future fights. Ready, but he's fulfilled them. He promised Abraham that he would have descendants as numerous as the stars. And he's also promised that he would bring them out of Egypt. He gave that promise to Moses, and that's exactly what he did. Sure, it took him having to do 10 plagues and going through a literal sea, but he still brought them out of Egypt. But even with these promises being made and being kept, they still don't seem to trust him yet. There still seems to be this hesitation because they don't just go straight into the battle. Moses instead sends a messenger, kind of doing what he did previous times. Verse 26. Out of Kedamoth, I sent messengers to Sihon, king of Heshbon, offering peace and saying, let us pass through your country. We will stay on the main road. We will not turn aside to the left or to the right. Sell us food to eat and water to drink for their price in silver. Only let us pass through on foot, as the descendants of Esau who live in Seir and the Moabites who live in Ar did for us. until we cross the Jordan into the land the Lord our God is giving us. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, refused to let them pass. For the Lord your God made his spirit stubborn and his heart obstinate in order to give him into your hands as he has done now. God was against everyone who grumbled, everyone who was angry and annoyed. That's why it took him 38 years in the wilderness. But now is the time when the Israelites get to go to them. Because what they did with Esau's descendants and what they did with the Moabites, they do yet again. But God didn't command that. He didn't tell them, go send messengers. He says, go fight them. And I get it. Because it's hard to trust. We as humans are not the most faithful in keeping our promises. Sometimes we accidentally double book ourselves. When our friend asks us for coffee, we say, oh yeah, I can do that. And then we find out later from our spouses, hey, we got this thing we got to do in the morning. Oh, I didn't mean to double book. Or we make a promise to meet a friend later, but then realize, oh, I have a work thing and I can't go. Our promises aren't always kept, and that's just sometimes how it is. But God's not that way. God keeps all of his promises, every single one. When he took them from under the hand of the Egyptians and brought them to their own land. And when he promised them that land, it wasn't just, you'll get a look at Egypt. Isn't it beautiful? Look at Israel. Isn't it beautiful? Yeah, good luck. Find a new place. He gives them their own land. And when he promises to send a savior, it's not an empty promise. It's not, oh, one day I'll send him eventually. We know that he does because he sends Christ. And he sends Christ to live that perfect life that none of us can. And then to be the perfect lamb led to the slaughter without blemishes, because none of us can be that. But because God is God, Jesus rose again, showing his power over faithful in keeping him. Showing that God is faithful in keeping his promises. So when we pray that God's kingdom come on earth, we know it will happen. It might not happen right now, might not happen tomorrow or next week, but we know it will happen, that there will be peace on earth. And we know that when we ask for our daily bread, it's not an empty prayer that we ask, because we know God's going to provide us food. He might not do it in the form of quail and manna. He might not do it as lands being flowing with milk and honey, but we will get that food. Might have to be through a farmer, that food. And when we ask for forgiveness, that's not an empty ask, because we know that God has forgiven us through Jesus. And every time that we ask for that forgiveness, he will give it to us. So next time when you're stressed because life has too much, when you're struggling to fix a problem, or when you're just scared of what happens, don't wallow in that worry. Pray. Because when God says he will be there with you and he will help you, he means to help you. Unfortunately, the Israelites kind of forget this. They sent the messenger because they were worried that, oh, if we do things differently, things will change. But of course, Sihon says, nuh-uh, you're not going to pass through, and brings his army to them. Verse 31. The Lord said to me, see, I have begun to deliver Sihon and his country over to you. Now begin to conquer and possess his land. When Sihon and all his army came out to meet us in battle at Jahaz, the Lord our God delivered him over to us, and we struck him down, together with his sons and his whole army. At that time, we took all his towns and completely destroyed them, men, women, and children. We left no survivors. We plundered the livestock and plunder from the towns we have captured, we carried off for ourselves. From Aroer, on the rim of the Arnon Gorge, and from the town in the gorge, the Lord our God gave us all of them. But in accordance with the command of the Lord our God, you did not encroach on any of the land of the Ammonites. That's different. Amorite is who they fought. Ammonite is who they did not touch. Neither the land along the course of the Jabbok, nor that around the towns in the hills. So God says to the Israelites, well, no, duh. I told you you can't just walk through. Go fight him and you're going to win. And because God made that promise, guess what? They won quite handily. So the Dead Sea Gorge, which houses the Arnon River, is right by the Dead Sea. So they're quite south for where we think of everything happening. Destroying everything and winning because well past that, near the Jordan River, just they would win and that they would have the upper hand. It wasn't an empty promise. He kept his word and allowed them to win amazingly. That's the next section. But when they go and fight Og and when they do all of the destroying of Og, they destroy 60 cities. 60 cities, as well as every village, going to win, and you will have the upper hand. Because God keeps his promises. And it's at this point where we see the Israelites start to change. Instead of next time, they don't send a messenger. Instead, they just go and fight Og. Next, we turn and went up along the road toward Bashan, and Og, king of Bashan, with his whole army, marched out to meet us in battle at Edrei. The Lord said to me, do not be afraid of him, for I have handed him over to you with his whole army and his land. Do to him what you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon. So the Lord our God also gave to our hands Og, king of Bashan, and all his army. We struck them down, leaving no survivors. At that time, we took all the cities. There was not one of the 60 cities that we had not taken from them, the whole region of Argob, Og's kingdom in Bashan. All these cities were fortified with high walls and with gates and bars, and there were also a great number of unwalled villages. We completely destroyed them as we had with Sihon, king of Heshbon, destroying every city, man, woman, and children. But all the plunder from their cities we carried off for ourselves. God. They don't send any messengers this time saying, hey, we'll pay for our food, just let us walk. They meet Og in battle, and then they win. And then they decimate all of Og's kingdom. All of the tribes of Israel will stay. And when they do this destroying of, it's not just like they covered a little bit of land. They went from the Dead Sea to well past the Sea of Galilee towards Mount Hermon. That's a lot of land. That's, you could drive through LA three times, from here to LA three times. And they decimate everything as per God's command. He didn't tell them, oh, leave the cities, you'll be fine. He says, destroy them, and that's exactly what they do. They seem to take a great turn and start following God, because God keeps his promises. Not at one point had God made a promise that he hadn't kept during this whole time. He made the promise that they would win, and that's exactly what happens. And he makes the promise that they will get land, which they've already started doing. And like I said, in Joshua, we have the whole account of them just getting the rest of their land that they will have for thousands of years. And when God makes the promise that he will send someone to restore all of creation, he does exactly that. Because God keeps his promises. They're not empty. And we get, as Christians, we have the privilege to get to show this faithfulness, this consistency that God has. And we can do this by loving our neighbors and being there for them. Because it's really easy to be there, but we can't only be there when they're happy. You got to be there when they're sad too. Whether that be because being attacked by personal demons, we still have to be there with them because we feel sad or when we feel scared. And as Christians, we get that privilege tides. And we're also supposed to be there when they're fighting, whether that be with friends or family or directly with us. But because God doesn't respond to our anger with anger back, we too shouldn't respond to them. We instead show them kindness and love. Because God shows us kindness and love even when we're angry at him. And when we're scared, we know that God is there with us. He says it more than once, I am there with you. So when our friends, our neighbors, our family are scared too, we're not to just walk away and be, peace, I'll see you when you're not scared. We're instead to be there with them, to comfort them when they're hurt, when they're scared, when they feel alone. Because God gives us that comfort and that love. When we pray all the things that we do, they're not empty promises that we ask for. We don't ask God to comfort us, and he never provides it. Granted, he might not provide it the same way every time. One time, he might send me a friend. Another time, he might give me his word. But just because, don't let the circumstances of your life judge or dismiss God's promises. He promised them many descendants. But Abraham only had one son. Yet David's kingship was full of war. And Solomon's was decades of peace. God keeps his promises always. He just doesn't always fulfill them the same. The Israelites are right there at the bank. They have taken over all the land. Yet Moses decides to still keep talking. Verse 8. So at that time, we took from these two Arnon rites in the territory east of the Jordan, from the gorge by the Sidonites, I mispronounced that, Sidonians, and the Amorites call it Senir. We took all the towns in the plateau, all Gilead, and all Bashan as far as Saleka. Did I say that one right? Sure, it's good enough. Saleka. And Edrei, towns of Og's kingdom in Bashan. Only Og, king of Bashan, was left of the remnant of the Rephaites. His bed was made of iron and was more than 13 feet long and 6 feet wide. It is still, this gives a recap of everything that's happened. They took all the land from the Arnon Gorge all the way to Mount Haran. But they didn't touch the Ammonite, everything there, leaving no survivors but the livestock and taking all the treasures. Og was probably really tall and probably really fat, because who else would need a bed that's 13 feet wide, comfiest things to sleep in? Or it'd be a really good couch. A name for that? Because it's well past an Alaskan king. I don't know, it's a really big bed. That has been done because the Israelites fully trusted God. At one point, go fight them, and they do. He says you'll win, and they do. He says you'll have the upper hand, and that's exactly what they have. They're able to conquer, and he's given them all this land because they are his people. God doesn't make promises that aren't kept. He fulfills every single one of his promises every time he makes them. So with that, pray with me. Dear Lord, we thank you are kept. Your word is true. That the promises that you make are kept, even when we struggle. We thank you that you sent a Savior all in your us because we couldn't. And we ask this all in your name. Amen.
At this time, we will be taking the Lord's Supper, which Christ promises to be fully present in this bread and very wine for the forgiveness of all our sins. So when you come up, you'll be given Christ's very body and very blood, which he promises for the love that he has for every single one of you.
Stations are all around. There's a couple stations over there, or you can come down the middle. If you do come down the middle, Dakota is going to be distributing to you the bread and the wine available for